I was a Muslim in Yemen, but if anybody found out that I was doubtful about Islam, I will be dead because of Sharia law in Islam.
Real life starts now.
This is Real Life Radio Show with On Lay.
I felt alone, I felt lost, I felt scared.
Real stories.
I was so desperate in living such a dark and callous life.
Real people.
I was thinking there was no purpose for my life, there's no reason for me to be here.
Real problems.
I told my dad, if you try to take these drugs, I'm gonna kill you.
One solution, God.
Hope is a person, and his name is Jesus.
And now your host, On Lay.
Hi, this is Evangelist On Lay. Welcome to the Real Life Radio Show, where we're going to talk to real people who had real problems, but found answers in a real God. Lately, we've been talking about discovering the truth about what it's like inside of Yemen, which has a 90 to 99% Muslim population. The country is comprised of mostly Sunni Muslims, and the rest are Shia Muslims and Zaydi Muslims. The nation has little to no Jews or Christians. You think there's a reason for that? Well, in our last show, we had John Ghanim share with us how he was raised as a Shia Muslim, and it was like a Muslim world in his environment, with Sharia law in effect, with everyone pushing you to believe and study the Quran. It was the main purpose of life for him and for everyone around him. He described how he was taught to view Jews and Christians as infidels, almost like the scum of the earth. They were unclean people, and America and Israel were seen as the enemy. He talked a lot about what it was like to be raised as a Shia Muslim, and he often survived through beatings on his hands with a wooden stick when he couldn't memorize the Quran or forgot to. John, I want to hear more about this. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me again.
John, I just can't believe you went through this. You know, and you're sharing so much truth growing up in a Muslim theocracy. I'm really getting the picture. I mean, I still got the chills from our last show, my friend. I understand that you eventually married. Who did you marry?
So I was married to my cousin. She's my first cousin.
What?
Yeah, it was arranged marriage.
So that's interesting. So like, for example, in America, that's not allowed. But it's like your real cousin, like you were marrying your cousin?
Yes, like her father was my father's brother.
Whoa, so that's like the real thing. Okay, so how does that work? Are you taught to marry within families? Don't go outside of families? Is that a normal thing?
Yeah, it's a culture thing. So they have to protect the tribe and the name of the family.
So you don't get to choose who you marry then?
No, the family will choose a wife for you from the family.
Wow. John, what was it like, I mean, in your family? And I understand you had kids. What was it like? Was it a very close family? Not close? Was it a lot of love? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, we were a close family because this is how it's about family. But it's like a strong relation without love.
There wasn't a lot of love. And that's just because maybe even the whole society, there wasn't a lot of love. Is that correct?
Yes, it's just respect. Respect without love.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. So eventually you had to leave your village. That somehow started to challenge your thinking regarding Islam. Tell us about that.
Yeah, after my marriage, I decided to go to study business administration at the uni.
Mm.
So at that time, I have to leave the village to go to the university. And in 2014, I was studying and I started to doubt about my Islamic faith. Because it was very hard to pray 5 times a day, every day. And no spiritual relation with Allah.
Mm.
Just prayer every day.
Wow.
Like ritual things.
So like kind of you have to, and if you don't, you're going to be judged. There's a fear.
Yes.
It's fear motivating you at the time.
Yes, fear, and it's like heavy burden on my shoulders, like spiritual weight.
Geez, so you started doubting.
Yes.
Okay, and so didn't that make you kind of more afraid that you were doubting, knowing the consequences?
Yeah, I couldn't get answers like, I'm going to heaven or not? Is this prayer going to save me? So I wasn't sure.
Wow.
I wasn't sure if I will go to heaven or not.
Wow.
So it was very, very hard. And you can't get answers from the imams. So you have to just earn your salvation.
Wow. So you are just in constant fear. Now, I understand as you're doubting, you started to ask deeper questions.
Yes.
Did you find deeper questions?
Yes, at that time, 2014, my father decided to take my mother to Mecca, to the holy place of Islam. And they chose me to be her guardian. And I went with her and my grandmother. And in Mecca, you know, in the house of Allah, you have to go 7 times around the house of Allah and the black stone.
Interesting.
All Muslims, they go there like millions.
Yeah.
And we prepared and we have a leader, a religious leader. And I was happy. I thought I might find answers for my questions.
Oh.
And while I was going around the black stone or the house of Allah, I start to ask this big question. Muslims, they say there is one God, but they bow down and they kiss a stone. So I said, this is human being made. This is not from God. This is like idolatry.
Wow.
It was very hard for me. Then I straight away in front of Kaaba, in front of Mecca, I gave up Islam.
Whoa.
But in like secret way, yeah.
I get it. Because you were taught that the Jews and Christians were idolaters or something like that, right?
Yes.
Like that they were the idol worshippers, infidels.
Infidels. And they'll go to hell, yes.
And that they for sure, because they don't worship the true God. But now you're seeing that you are the one who's basically doing that kind of stuff. Is that right?
Yes, yes, yeah.
Wow.
Worshipping a stone or bow down to stone or kiss a stone or like a statue, you know, walk around the stone.
Yeah. So you didn't feel anything holy. You were expecting like a holy encounter with God, Allah, right? But you didn't get that.
Yeah, because I'm seeking him. I want to feel him inside of me, inside of my heart.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it's like a ritual thing. It's just, you know, human made.
Wow. So that's scary. I mean, how did it feel to be internally forsaking your faith? Because on the outside, you're going to be forced to do it, right? Because if you're not doing it, you're in trouble. They're going to do something to you.
Yeah, of course, because, you know, as I said before, there is death penalty for leaving Islam. So I was fearful. I was scared. I was empty inside of me. So I have to pretend in front of my family, in front of my friends, that I am a Muslim from the outside. From the inside, I was agnostic and it was very hard for me.
Wow.
So I stayed 3 years as agnostic. It was the most hardest 3 years in my life.
Wow.
Because I have to pretend that I am Muslim from the outside, but from inside, I wasn't Muslim.
Was anyone ever really... Could they tell or no one even knew?
I was very careful. I was very careful because if you say anything, you will be responsible for your words because all the society will become against you.
Wow. I understand eventually you did get away from Yemen because there was a war. Tell us about that.
So I left Yemen 2017 with my auntie because she has a husband in the United States. And she has to get visa from the U.S. embassy. But because of the war, all the embassies left Yemen. So we had to go to Africa to get the visa. So I went to Africa with her to Djibouti. And from there, she got the visa. I couldn't get visa to the U.S. because at that time, there is a law from the U.S. that Yemenis, they are not allowed to go to the U.S.
Wow.
So I couldn't go to the U.S. and I don't want to go back to Yemen because I don't want to live a lie life.
Yeah,
I feel like I lost my dignity. I lost my freedom. I don't want to go and live this, you know, fake life.
Wow. Now, I understand you met a specific person and he told you something that changed your life forever. John, let's stop here and let's talk about that on our next show. Man, this has unveiled so much for people to understand. Thanks so much for being with us today and really showing us the reality of living the way you did so many years ago.
Yeah, it's my privilege, bro.
Awesome. Hold tight. Let's analyze what you just heard right after the short break.
Did you know that just $10 a month can reach up to 1,000 more listeners to our show, where their lives can be inspired and transformed by the power of the gospel? We need your help. We are a nonprofit ministry, and we need your support today. Let me tell you how God is using this show to touch so many hearts. We often hear how someone was just driving in their car, heard our show, and related to someone's story, and God touched their heart. They received Jesus into their life that day. You can donate to our ministry through our website at www.therealliferadioshow.com, where you can make a one-time donation or make a monthly commitment. You can also support us by getting our merch through our website. You can buy t-shirts, hoodies, stickers, mugs, and more. Every donation helps, whether it's $3 a month or $100 a month. Thank you so much for your support and prayers. Now back to the show.
More Real Life starts now.
Welcome back to the show. We're going to go deeper into what you just heard. So what do you think about this? Honestly, it's a sudden turn of events for John, where now he's in a very difficult place. And he found this difficult place because he's doubting his own faith in Islam. But there is no room for doubting in the faith of Islam. Let me explain. You see, there are verses in the Quran that make the case that if any Muslim doubts his faith in Allah at all, then he's not a true Muslim. Therefore, creating so much pressure for anyone to blindly believe in order to prove their faith in Allah, the Islamic God. You see, it's written in the Quran in Yunus chapter 10, verses 94. It says, "The truth has certainly come to you from your Lord, so do not be one of those who doubt." And in the book of At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verses 45, "Only those people ask you to be excused who do not believe in Allah and in the last day and whose hearts are in doubt, so they are wavering in their doubt." So you can see here, like John is doubting in the God of Islam, but there's so much scripture that really just speaks very negatively about that. And if he had made known and asked for help, for people to say, "Hey guys, I'm struggling," they would denounce him as not a true Muslim. Therefore, he could have dire consequences in a land that had Sharia law. That's where he was at. You can see how Islam is proliferated by a means of enforcement of belief, almost like you don't have a choice. But what kind of God gives free will, but then constricts your free choice? If you contrast that with the Holy Bible of the Christians and the Jews, it's written about free will, that God wants us to choose, and doubting isn't a bad sign, but God gives us a choice and a time to make that choice. It's written in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 through 20. "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, and you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which is the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." The God of the Christians and Jews gives us a choice. But John, he felt condemned, even possibly unto death. He doesn't know where to go here. And honestly, it really challenges to think about the differences. You know, people say, well, all gods are the same. I don't think so. The texts are too different. I believe that God gives us a free choice and God wants us to choose him. Just like we don't want someone to, you know, robotically love us. We want people to choose to love us. Lord Jesus, I'm praying for the person who needs to realize, God, you're a God of free choice. You're not forcing us to love you, forcing us to do some type of religion, that you want a relationship with us. Jesus, we thank you for you. And I pray, Lord God, for the person who's seeking you, that they would find you. In Jesus' mighty name. I hope you're blessed by this testimony, and I know that your life was touched.
If you want to know more about us or to make a tax-deductible donation, please check us out at www.therealliferadioshow.com. See you next time.